Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is All of It. I'm Kushan Avidar, in for Allison Stewart. The NAACP Image Awards are this Saturday, honoring outstanding representation and achievements of people of color in film, television, music, and literature. So today, we're going to present some thought-provoking interviews with this year's nominees. This hour is focused on film. We'll hear from some of the filmmakers behind motion picture candidates like Origin and New York-centric films such as 1001 and Story Ave. So let's get started with Origin. The film is based on Pulitzer Prize winner Isabel Wilkerson's groundbreaking nonfiction book, Caste, The Origins of Our Discontents, in which the author argues for understanding racism in the United States as part of a caste system like that in India. Origin is up for Outstanding Motion Picture, Outstanding Actress for Anjanue Ellis-Taylor, Outstanding Youth Performance for Lennox Sims, and Outstanding Directing for Ava DuVernay. Here's Allison's conversation with director Ava DuVernay and actress Anjanue Ellis-Taylor.
You read Caste multiple times before looking into it and tackling it so you could kind of get what it meant and get into what it meant. What did you come to understand better, Ava, upon the last reading?
You know, I was hunting for characters. I was hunting for a way in to take the facts and figures and the anthropological thesis that Isabel Wilkerson sets out in the book so beautifully and to bring that into an intimate space, a human space with a character that we could, you know, follow and decided that that would be Isabel herself. And so approached her and asked her if she would be interested in this kind of adaptation, this kind of screenplay. She said yes, and off we went.
So, but Isabel is a capital J journalist.
Big J.
Big J journalist, bureau chief at the New York Times. Big J journalists don't like to be the story.
That's right.
They really don't. What were those conversations like when you talk to her about, hi, I want to talk about your life, your marriage, your family?
You know, I won't speak for her. I'll say, though, that I felt that for me, she understood that I was a filmmaker with a point of view, and I had an idea about how to tell the story that she cared about, which was Caste, to amplify that. And that in order to tell that story, I needed a character and I wanted her to do it. And I think that certainly it was nothing that she volunteered for, but that she said yes to very generously. And, you know, I think it was she wanted a certain end. She wanted it to be amplified. And so she allowed herself to be used for that.
Anjanue, please, and correct me if I'm wrong because you know the internet. You didn't meet Isabel Wilkerson before making the film, but you looked at her TED Talks and listened to her interviews. Was that an intentional choice? Was that a matter of timing?
Yeah, well, in this case, the internet is not lying.
Okay. For once.
I know.
The internet is truthful. No, I didn't meet Ms. Wilkerson. Ava and Ms. Wilkerson had sort of kind of set up this kind of operating practice with the process with the film and developing the film. And I think Ms. Wilkerson at that point had sort of said, you know, this is yours. You take it. And I really followed in line and respected her privacy.
What were you able to observe by watching the interviews, by listening to her various appearances? What were you looking for? And then what were you able to use?
I was looking for texture. I was looking for something that was unspoken. Because so much of what the work that I do in the film is unspoken. It is not communicated. It's not communicated verbally. So I was looking for that. I was looking for the discrepancy between what she was saying and what she might have felt actually. I cross-referenced interviews that she did with Michael Lyric Dyson and Brian Stevenson And I looked at her TED Talk, the famous TED Talk that she did when Warmth of Other Suns, when she was promoting Warmth of Other Suns, the nervousness she had right before she said that speech. And then her book is really a memoir. Cast is a memoir. She every piece of the argument that she builds in that book, she uses her own personal experience. So I pulled from all of that source material.
Ava, Elizabeth Wilkerson is such an elegant woman. She's sort of a compact person when you interview her. She's very serious. When you have a protagonist who has those characteristics, who's not just, you know, big and loud and flashy, what conversations do you have with your actor about how to play that? How to play, she's not small, but she is intense and serious.
I think that's the magnificence of Anjanue Ellis-Taylor, mm-hmm. in that she's able to interpret this life, interpret this work of this brilliant woman, and personify it in a character that is walking through the world holding silence, holding grief, but also holding her brilliance and her curiosity about the world to kind of create a more of a fluency in the way that we should be talking about, you know, this cultural phenomenon, mm-hmm. writ large. That's a big task to ask an actor. But with an artist like Anjanue, she was able to find it, to find those quiet places and where the dignity and the strength of character come through. You know, as a director, I find it much easier to direct scenes where people are screaming, yelling, running, jumping. Those are active and they are really clear about what those should be. The interiority of someone thinking, someone contemplating, someone grieving.
Anjanue, it's a cliched word, but I'm actually truly interested. What is your process for creating a character who has this deep interiority?
You know, it was one of the reasons why I've wanted to work with Ava since we did When They See Us. We see the consequence of her work. Yusuf Salam is going to be a city councilman. And I think that her work in When They See Us, it planted the seeds. He's an extraordinary man, but it planted the seeds for his candidacy and his ultimate win in my mind. She one of the things she said is she wanted to explore the interiority of a woman's, particularly a Black woman's life. And I just found that was exciting because I'm not, as you said, a big J journalist. I'm also not a big T thinker, but I am a thinker. I do spend a lot of time in that gray matter space. Mm-hmm. I read a lot and I dream a lot, you know, and make things in my mind. So to me, it was just, I was leaning into stuff that I do anyway, you know, but here's the thing, trusting that I was conveying something, even though I was not saying it. Yeah.
Trust. That's a really, that's an important word in this conversation, I think.
Absolutely.
My guests are Ava DuVernay and Anjanue Ellis-Taylor. She plays Isabel Wilkerson in Origin. Directors make decisions. That's part of the big thing every day, all day. What was a tough decision to make in the making of this film that you're ultimately glad you made, but it was, you know, a back and forth?
Yeah, one of the biggest decisions that we made early on was the decision to not pursue Hollywood studio money for the movie. Mm-hmm. Or if we were going to just take it into our own hands and do it a different way. So we very immediately started to reach out to untraditional funding sources. We raised the money independently through philanthropists, through philanthropic organizations that were like-minded and that came together around this film. And we were able to raise that money in 6 months' time and expedite the process of the funding and the movie making so that we could have the film out this year. It was very important to me that we be out in during the election year. Mm-hmm. And so in order to do that, we had to bypass the Hollywood slog. It's a lengthy thing. It's a process. And just jump straight into the making. And so that was a key pivotal moment. And I'm so glad we did.
There's a scene in the film, Ava, where Isabel's dealing with a flooded basement. And it's an old house, and the plumber shows up, and he's wearing a MAGA hat. It's Nick Offerman, the actor Nick Offerman. And it reminded me of a moment in my interview with Isabel, which I pulled because I want to talk about how I want our listeners to understand how things that she writes and says, how you were able to dramatize them. So this is Isabel Wilkerson talking about how an old house, it's her analogy for what happens in our country when we don't talk about important issues. Let's play that clip.
Well, I describe our country as an old house. And when you have an old house, there's, you know, the work is never done. There's always something that has to be attended to. And just when you think you've fixed one thing, then something else comes up. And, you know, especially when you have an old house, after a rain, you may not want to go into the basement to see what the rains have wrought. But if you don't go into that basement, it's at your own peril, because whatever is there is going to be there no matter you're going and looking at it or not.
So if we share with our audience how you took that analogy and brought it into the film?
Well, it's a cumulative effect that hopefully you feel at the end of the picture, but you will watch the change, the transition, the seasons around a house that the character Isabel occupies at one point that she doesn't occupy. And, you know, at the end of it, the metaphor kind of blossoms. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a powerful metaphor, this idea that we are all here in this place and that you can't really say, well, I didn't do that. I didn't break mm-hmm. it. I wasn't there when slavery happened. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. Well, we're here now. Mm-hmm. We're here and we're mm-hmm. living here, and we have to fix it or else this is an unlivable place. And so that was just a powerful part of the book for me. And the movie is really all of my aha moments in reading that almost 500-page book. Mm-hmm. It's all my highlights. And then research, you know, after you read something or you hear something, you go and Google. And so I just had a Google-a-thon, and I wanted to know more. And then I'm researching and I'm interviewing. And so all of that creative energy, that intellectual curiosity that I felt when I read the book, is poured into the film and sits alongside her personal histories that she was kind enough to share with me. And it creates this bit of a stew of a movie. You know, there are historical sequences, contemporary sequences, mm-hmm. surreal sequences. There are sequences where people feel like, am I watching a documentary? Is this a real film? Blurring the lines between that. Trying to do anything narratively to mm-hmm. bring people into the heart space that I experienced when I read the book, which was complicated and quite beautiful.
Anjanou, in that moment when the plumber has got the MAGA hat on and Isabel is in, you know, she's at her wit's end and there's a leak and the basement's flooded, and there's a lot exchanged between the two characters without much being said. Mm-hmm. What is happening to those two people when they first encounter each other? I don't want to give anything away, but what's happening when they first encounter each other?
Well, I think that when Isabel opens the door and she sees that MAGA hat, she is, you know, thrust into this situation, first of all, that could not be safe, potentially not be safe for her. Mm. And she's inviting this something that could be dangerous in her home, but at the same time, she needs her plumbing fix. You know, and I think I think Black women have to navigate that all the time, these places of practicality and yet danger. So I think that she had to, and that was one of the stories and that was in the book. So when Ms. Wilkerson speaks about it, and like, okay, how do I get done what I need to get done? So she uses, she strategizes in that moment. And also here's that connectivity. You got a mama, I got a mama. We both meet in this space, and being able to build that bridge between this man, with that connective tissue in that moment.
My guests are actor Anjanou Ellis-Taylor. She plays Isabel Wilkerson in the film Origin. I'm also speaking with its writer and director, Ava DuVernay. So you begin the film, Ava, with the moments leading up to Trayvon Martin's killing. And we return to the killing in graphic detail later in the film. These opening moments, he's leaving the grocery store, he's on the phone. The audio, that's the real audio of George Zimmerman, correct?
That's the real audio. And I will also say it's not in graphic detail.
Okay.
You know, it is. I'm not
maybe
showing.
It feels that bad.
But I love the, you know, the power of suggestion in cinema. Yeah. It's so tragic.
It's
it
so
feels,
hard.
It's hard, but you really don't see anything. You just feel
That's
it.
That's fair. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
Thank
Good
you. Good job in a bad situation.
Yeah, yeah.
Why, you know, given, why did you want to start the film there?
Well, you know, it starts with a kid walking down the street talking to his friend on the phone. And it's really important that when I think filmmakers render trauma on screen, render mm-hmm. violence on screen, that it moves out of spectacle and moves into a place of, you know, real emotion. And that only happens mm-hmm. when you humanize people. So, you know, I was watching John Wick the other day and, you know, 47 people died in one scene and I didn't know them, you know, so it didn't matter.
Ingenue, when you know, the film has these historical elements throughout, a German man, a Jewish woman in Nazi Germany, which mentioned in the book as well. There's another about these anthropologists who study in the Deep South. The book is The Deep South, black and white couple who are anthropologists. Ingenue, just practically speaking, how aware are you of these other stories and does it impact your work? Are you just doing your part of this? You're in your Isabel mode, frame of mind. Are you thinking about the other parts of the film?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am thinking about it. And what I try to do is make sure that every book, even though I was not able to read every book that Isabel, the character Isabel references in the film, I wanted to make sure that I had those books. If I was, you know, referencing anyone or speaking about any material that's referenced, I wanted to make sure before I actually filmed the scene that I had read researched what that particular thing that she references. I wanted to make sure. So yeah, I was doing that, even though I was not in those scenes necessarily. I was making sure that I was fluent in what was happening, mm-hmm. even when I wasn't on screen.
Ava, your editor in the film, Spencer
Averick.
Thank you for saying his last name. How did you work with him when you have so many different elements? As you mentioned, there's documentary elements, there's the narrative elements, there are the surreal elements.
Yes.
Tell us about
you know, he's my primary collaborator. Mm-hmm. We've worked together on every single thing I've ever directed. It's been edited by Spencer. He's a wonderful example of the breaking of caste. He is a man who's about 10 years younger than me, white. On paper, we look like we would be exact opposites, but we have the same mind and we think the same way. And so our task was to take 4.5 hours of material that we had shot. My first cut was 4.5 hours, and to basically cut that down by half and to try to find the treasures, the moments that communicated in the most dynamic and muscular way what we were trying to get across. But that partnership is so crucial to me.
And your cinematographer, Matthew Lloyd.
Yeah, oh my goodness. Thank you for asking about my people. You know, these are people that are surround you. Matthew Lloyd is a dream of a cinematographer. You know,
he seems interesting.
Well, he seems interesting.
He seems, well, you know, I went on his page, on his website.
Look at you, researching all kinds of different projects. And people had said, oh, he's an interesting choice for this. He doesn't seem like he would fit in line with this, but just a dynamic artist mm-hmm. who is so, so passionate about this material and very kind. You know, cinematographers have a bit of a reputation on set. They're kind of hot shots.
Cowboys. And cowgirls.
Yes, a little. But cowgirls and cowboys. You know what I mean? They can slow down the space of a set. They can speed mm-hmm. it up. They really are important to the overall environment. And he is just a joy to be around. But was also someone who was with me very early in the process. Usually a cinematographer is not around during the writing. Mm-hmm. But I was sharing pages with him. And he was just so inside of my mind and the vision of what I wanted to do that those two collaborators, as well as my producing partner, Paul Garnes, were just instrumental in getting us here.
Ava, the positive reviews have all used the word audacious. They use it a lot.
I don't like it. I don't like it. How'd you know I didn't like it? First of all, I have to say Ina Mayhew, who's our black woman mm-hmm. production designer, who was incredible, New Yorker. Shout out to Ina. I don't know. Why did you pick out that word?
Because I knew you'd wrinkle your nose.
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it, Ava?
Well, is Oppenheimer audacious? Is he audacious?
Come on now.
You know, I mean, like, what does it mean? Like, I don't, I'm not quite sure what it means. And I think I'm an artist who wanted to tell a story about this subject matter. And yes, it is from a book that is a 496-page anthropological, you know, exploration. And yes, I made it into a narrative piece, but I don't think it's audacious. And not in a bad way. I'm just saying there's something underneath that term that assumes that this was hard, unbelievable, out of bounds for me in some way. And that's the part of it that makes me tilt my head a little bit and ask, what do you mean by that?
We're going to leave that there.
Okay.
That was Allison's conversation with Origin director Ava DuVernay and actress ingenue Ellis Taylor. The film is up for 4 NAACP Image Awards, including Outstanding Motion Picture. Up next, Queens native writer and director A.V. Rockwell talks about her debut feature film, 1001. This is All of It.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Next, don't give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Biosonic sound experience. And that, that's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Next, don't give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com.